You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. Welcome to the program. Come on in. It's a Meat Friday. Not sure what's on the menu. I just know the Traeger grills are all fired up, and so are we. Once again, playing with a man down, but playing to our strengths, with that man down being McLovin. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. We say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. You can download the app and watch all 3 hours for free. Also, our radio affiliates around the country, we're numbering nearly 400 cities, including KLAC in Los Angeles, Tampa, Florida on WDAE, and the Big 920 in Wisconsin. Thank you for your support. NFL announced a new policy yesterday that could have a big effect on this upcoming season. The league telling teams in a memo that if a game is canceled due to a COVID outbreak, due to a team's unvaccinated players or staff, the team with the outbreak will forfeit the game. To make matters worse or more serious, players don't get paid for the game. The NFL says it will not be adding a 19th week. Last season, they played games on Tuesday. They played one on Wednesday. That was a disastrous Wednesday game between the Ravens and Steelers. And maybe it's just a coincidence, but Pittsburgh entered that Week 12 game undefeated, won that game, then lost five of the final six games of the regular season, and then their opening playoff game against the Browns. I don't think the NFL is trying to make a political statement here. They know better. Even though that's what the vaccine discussion has devolved into. And they don't have a great history on player health on their side. The NFL and its owners care about the owners and the money, staying on schedule. Go back to last year during the pandemic. Draft on time, right? They adjusted it, but they did it on time. Season on time. Eight games were moved last year. Not canceled, moved. You had college football seasons. You had conferences canceled. That's not the way the NFL works. That's a multi-billion dollar business. Money is the priority and the second priority and the third priority. It seems like the NFL is trying to protect the business, for which that means pressuring teams and players to get vaccinated. I'm not going to make this a political topic today. Just not. This is about business and the reaction here. You choose to get vaccinated or you don't. It's up to you, but there's also consequences there. You have the choice, but there's consequences, just like I said to the Danettes. You don't want to get vaccinated? Okay, then we have to make other precautions. We have to take other precautions. You have different policies you have to follow. That's all. You want to work from home? You want to Zoom in? Okay. If you come in, I need you to get tested. That's all. And I said this to the Danettes. We will get through this. We're not going to miss a show. And we did not. But I said, this is my business. And we have to abide by certain guidelines here. We just do. And that's what the NFL is doing. The NFL is saying, you don't have to get vaccinated. We strongly encourage you to get vaccinated. And people want to make this a political moment here. I understand the politics attached to this, but this is about financials. That's all this is. This is about the bottom line of a business. People thought, well, would the NFL ratings drop? They didn't last year. It's full speed ahead. And there have been different players who've come out and said they're not getting vaccinated. DeAndre Hopkins has said, not getting vaccinated. You know, I'm, you know, basically choosing to reconsider my future in the NFL. Okay. Jalen Ramsey came out and said, hey, I know two people who got vaccinated and they're COVID positive. Okay. Cole Beasley with Buffalo. You don't want to do it? Then you're going to go into the facility and then you have to go this way, whereas everybody else goes this way. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, the new policy, unvaccinated players will be in like a different category when they're on the property. They'll have severe protocols during training camp in the regular season, daily testing, mask wearing where other players might not have to wear masks, like in the hallways and so forth, travel restrictions where you may have to travel differently and stay in a different set of areas.
And this has happened. This happened in college football as well. But understand what happened in college football where conferences basically said, we can't do anything about this, or we don't have the finances, the resources to be able to do this. The SEC has the finances and the resources. They played right through it. And look where they are right now. They're ready to add Oklahoma and Texas and who knows who else. We're going to talk about that coming up in a moment here. But I don't want it to be political. I want it to be about the bottom line, because that's what it is. It's about money. The NFL is trying to protect the bottom line, and these owners lost all of that revenue. They didn't have anybody showing up at games. They lost all of that revenue. They want to get that revenue back, and they don't want some player or some players getting in the way of that. That's what this is all about. But you will have players who want to make it political, and that's their right. But you just have to understand, this is green, not red and blue. That's the way the NFL views this. This is about money, not about if right or left. Not Republican, Democrat. And I understand the players, you don't want to be told what to do, but it is your right as a business person. It's my right to say to my guys, to the Danettes and the backroom guys, you must abide by what I'm asking you to abide by. And if not, then we'll make accommodations. There are different rules in different sports with different people maybe, but not in here. We all had to abide by it. And I know this is a small sample size, but we are very close together, proximity-wise. There's 12 people in the building. We're like a traveling basketball team. But we had to make sure that we were looking out for everybody else. And I said to the Danettes, this is the severity of it. If something happens to me, it all goes away. Yeah, Paulie.
And it goes to, I was just laughing because when you said it, if something happens to me, it goes away. I always treated you the past year and a half like Mahomes. I'm like, you know, if I miss a couple of weeks or one of the guys in the back room misses a couple of weeks, full speed ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like the fullback on the Chiefs. But don't let Mahomes get it. And remember last year when Mahomes was in line to get a haircut for the Chiefs?
Yes, at the Super Bowl.
He was a couple away from getting a haircut from a barber who was compromised.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't, anybody else but Mahomes.
Yeah, Seton.
But, you know, there has to be a certain expectation, though, and understanding within the players of that this is sort of the way the league operates, right?
I would hope if you've been in the league for a little while that you want to protect your paycheck. That should be the approach here. I did talk to a league source yesterday, and I said, I'll bet you didn't have a good day today. And he said, no, it's not as bad as what people think it is, because he said about 75% of the players in the NFL have been vaccinated. And he said, you know, those numbers, those are encouraging numbers here. He said, you're trying to have everybody understand what's at stake here. The NFL will take the heat. They'll take the criticism. I mean, they got heat around the draft. The NFL doesn't care. Be like, okay, go ahead, criticize us. But we're still going full speed ahead. But they're also going, hey, we're going to be over here playing football. Plus, they want fans to be able to show up. They want capacity here. But that's sort of the Cliff Notes version of what's going on with all of this. But it's been kind of simmering here. As my source said, they have heard from other players, not teams, owners, coaches. It's been players individually who've said, you know, my amendment rights, and I should have, you know, I should be able to make my own decisions, and I don't want this. And I know somebody who had COVID. I know somebody who had been vaccinated. They heard all these stories, and my league source said, we together have to figure all of this out. But this is coming from a league that has a bad history on taking care of its players. And the players know that. So the players are saying, all right, do you really care about us? And if you're asking that question, the answer is no, they don't. You're all interchangeable. Tom Brady's going to retire one day and somebody else steps up. Patrick Mahomes retires. Somebody else steps up. Down through history. And I've been around this sport for four decades. Players come and go. Oh, how are they going to replace that guy or that guy? They do. Favre, gone. Rodgers, come on in. Rodgers, gone. Jordan Love or whoever else, come in. I mean, that's the way it works. You're all interchangeable. Get your money as long as you can. It's a short career. So when DeAndre Hopkins says, hey, this is kind of caused me to reconsider my NFL career, and if I want to play, and by the way, I got 9 years left on my career. Have a good day. All right. Take a year off. Go ahead. Protect your money. Don't for one moment think, boy, the NFL really cares about us. The NFL cares about the NFL. You know, you have that. They're really good at appearing to care. Like they have the NFL. We appear to care. Minimum kindness.
Remember that?
Yes. Yes, Todd.
How does that DeAndre Hopkins tweet get deleted? Everyone's like has that strong feeling and they don't take an extra minute to think before they put something on social media. Then all of a sudden, you know, maybe I shouldn't have put that out. They kind of wait for a public opinion and all of a sudden recently deleted tweet from DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I might have heard from the team. Might have been somebody who said, hey, you know what? That may not age well. Yeah, Paul.
Would you guys like to make $1 billion real quick? Can you come up with an app where when you delete your tweet, it's also deleted from any other place on Earth, on the Twitter, on any news story where it's also on?
That might be $1 trillion.
$1 trillion. Remember, Mark Cuban had something called like cyber dust where stuff you posted goes away. But when you post something like DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Florio gets it, puts in a story, and it's in Mike Florio's story forever. You can't get rid of that. If you could come up with an app that deletes universally... Ching, 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 ching.
But I remember a friend of mine had a friend in the FBI, and he said, you know, people think when you delete a text that you delete it. And he goes, no, it's there forever. Like, you're going, I don't want somebody to see that picture. Boom. It's there forever.
I always think when I clear my junk box, my deleted emails, well, those are gone.
They're not. They are not. I'm just letting everybody know. That's from the FBI. Yes. Yes.
That's a little disturbing. So where do they go exactly? And how easy it is for them to pull those things?
Yeah, you should be worried.
I am a little concerned.
Yeah, you should be worried. All right. This program brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn supplement that helps boost energy and burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. By the way, we have something special, a Seton's birthday weekend sale. Two t-shirts for $49. That's Friday through Sunday. And it is Seton's birthday weekend. Like he wanted the whole weekend.
Actually, it's been my birthday week, but it's okay. We can start celebrating it now.
Yeah. Yes, Bowen.
And there's a bonus. If your first name is actually Seton, you get two shirts for the price of two shirts.
That's right. My gift to you.
Yep.
Yes. Also, I want to thank you for the support with Penny's Bang Biscuits. Penny is a rescue dog, the big German's dog. And we got her. And when we got her, you know, she was nowhere near what she looks like now and acts like now. But Eric brought her in and we decided that we wanted to give back to the rescue place where we got the dog. I got my same dog from East Coast Rescue. We give back because we have Penny's Bang Biscuits. They're biscuits. They're made from scratch using healthy, all natural ingredients. The reaction has been wonderful. So thank you. 20% of the Bang Biscuit sales we're giving back to partners in the pet industry. So thank you for, and we have some more biscuits that are coming up. If you have a puppy, we have some other ones that we're working with, and we got great partners in helping us. It's not like we're in the back and, you know, Tyler or Mario is making dog biscuits.
Is actually how it works. Tyler out on the grill. He's baking them.
That was months ago, Seton.
Oh, yeah, we've moved on.
We have upgraded, but thank you. You can learn about Penny's Bang Biscuits, the t-shirts that we have on sale. We got a tribute to the Bucks. You can go to danpatrick.com.
A lot going on.
Yes, there.
A
whole lot going on. Shrimp tacos today.
Let's go.
Grilled chicken tacos, flank steak tacos.
Come on.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Take a break. We'll come back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Yeah, so that's what we have on the Traeger grill today. Shrimp tacos, grilled chicken tacos, flank steak tacos. And you know the beauty of Traeger? You can't screw this up. I mean, Tyler can't screw it up. He does a wonderful job. It's the only thing Tyler does well. and taking care of my dog, Winnie, and Penny as well. Traeger makes cooking delicious and smoking heaters and playing bad golf. He's really good at being a bad golfer. Traeger makes cooking delicious food incredibly simple. You can control, I could sit here right now and control the temperature on the Traeger because there's an app. It can tell me how much time is left, what I'm cooking, keeps the moisture in. They have this Wi-Fi or technology. Control the grill right from your phone using the Traeger app. They've thought of everything there. 6-in-1 versatility. That means you can grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, barbecue. When I went fishing in Montana, one of the chefs there, Traeger grill. I went, okay, I know we're getting some good food. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Phone calls are welcome. We'll settle on a poll question. Got some more news on Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC. Have that for you momentarily. Weather vans stop short. Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Great supporter of the Dan Patrick Show. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. This caught my attention. Kurt Bowles is a longtime writer, Austin American statesman, and he is plugged in. And he just sent out a tweet. Prominent Big 12 source tells the American statesman the Texas-Oklahoma move to the SEC is almost done. Almost done. Goes on to say that they've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months, and the A&M leadership was left out of the discussions and was not told about it. Move could become official in a week. Well, that escalated quickly. 3 days ago, wasn't a story. And then all of a sudden, started to hear some pitter-patter of a couple of teams leaving. SEC, Oklahoma and Texas. Yes, Seton?
If I'm Texas A&M, I am hurt. like a jilted lover.
Yeah.
Or like, what, you're breaking up with me? Like, no, I'm not breaking up with you. But my new boyfriend just happened to come and tell. What? What? I thought we had a thing. I thought this was working.
Yeah, and the fact that you don't include Texas A&M in this, I would be a little frosty right now.
I would be hurt. My feelings would be hurt.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, Paulie.
But if I have schools like Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, I'm like, all right, now we got a shot. Let's go. Clear out some of those heavyweights.
Yeah. They don't even have 12 in the Big 12. It's like the Big 10 doesn't have 10. Big 12 can't even get 12. Now they're losing two more. They going back to the Big 8?
Big 8.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Go back to the Big 8. This is what I think will eventually happen. And I don't have any inside information on this. But I did, you know, a couple of my college sources who were dead on this past season with what was going on with, you know, schools canceling or leagues canceling. And I talked to one of my sources yesterday and I said, can you see maybe the sort of the stages, the beginning stages of an NFL type format for college football? You would have maybe, let's say you had 40 teams. There's 125 right now. But you can, you know, there's a lot of excess there. And there's a lot of schools that they do play, and it's important for their, you know, revenue, bottom line, other sports in the athletic department. I understand that. But let's say you had 40 schools for 16 playoff spots. Now, it's like the NFL, but you have eight more teams. But you're going to get heavyweights in there. Now, do you take it a step further, and do you make it like the premiership where there's relegation? Let's say a program, Indiana football, for example, dormant for decades. All of a sudden, they move up. Now, you have four different tiers in soccer in Europe. And that's what college football is going to become. You're going to have the haves and then the have-nots. And really, you have that now. I mean, there's schools that you go, they have no chance of being really competitive on a consistent basis. Sometimes you get the outlier. Sometimes you go, oh, look at Boise State. Yeah, you'll get that. Hawaii one year played Georgia in a bowl game. You might get that, but you know, Wake Forest is not competing for a national championship. Vanderbilt not competing, but put them in a position in another structure, another league, another format, and then you know you're going to recruit accordingly. Plus, you got these players who are making money off their name, image, and likeness. We're going to have a 16-game schedule. I mean, I think this is where we're headed. I just don't understand. The SEC is going to load up on these schools. So what's going to happen with Michigan and Ohio State, Wisconsin? What's going to happen with Notre Dame? What's going to happen with Clemson? What's going to happen with USC? Oregon, are they going to be on the outside looking in? That's what I want to know. If the SEC is gathering all these schools, they're collecting them, and then are they just going to do what? Restructure? But it feels like this is the bigger picture to me would be, I would have Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, oversee the 40. He'd be the commissioner. He'd be Roger Goodell. And it feels like he's already Roger Goodell in college football. To me, he's the most powerful guy in college football. But if you're going to have this kind of outline, 40 schools, 16 playoff berths, how many games are you going to play? We're going to let you cash in on your name, image, and likeness. We're not going to stand in the way of that. And we're going to have a playoff system just like the NFL does. You're going to have teams that are going to be in the Western region, in the Southern region, the Northeastern, the Midwestern region, and you're going to always have better games. Now, you're going to have some schools that aren't competitive some years, but for the most part, you're looking at who's going to be consistently competitive. And you're just going to have the top 40 schools, and then you're going to have a playoff, and you're going to have your version of the Super Bowl, a national championship game. It feels like that. And my source said, you've said that maybe you have the top 60. He said, I think that's too many schools. If you want to do this and your model is the NFL, then maybe you could get to 40 schools. And maybe that's where we're headed. You could do four. I don't know if I could do four 12-team conferences. Maybe I do four 10-team conferences. Maybe you do 48. But I think if you have the 16 playoffs, then you might have some magic here. And look, let's get rid of the student-athlete. That, I mean, come on, let's stop with that. That's on life support. And the NCAA has basically said that. Like, they're moving out of the way, as if they haven't already. But we're going to look at these college players as professionals. And we should have during the pandemic. But I think that's where we're headed. Some players are going to get what they want. And these conferences and schools, you just don't want to be one of those teams that goes, I don't know. I think that's why Oklahoma and Texas decided that, all right, let's go. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, the other thing about that plan you're talking about, if you had 40 teams and Greg Sankey in that office were in charge of it, it could be like the NFL where he's in charge of scheduling, not the schools. Mm-hmm. So he schedules it. That's the best for the fans, the best for the networks.
Imagine a schedule release party in college football.
You know where to travel, where to tailgate. You know, Ohio State's not going to play Youngstown State week one. Yeah. They're going to play USC week one.
Yeah. I think that's where we're headed. Now,
great.
I don't know the time frame for that, but I do think we're headed in that direction. Yes, Eaton.
And doesn't there seem like there's a way to find more than enough money to keep everybody rich in that scenario?
Oh, they're going to make more money in this scenario.
That's what I'm saying. So what are the major hurdles in that side of like promotion relegation scenario?
I don't know if you're going to have somebody sign off on somebody getting left out. But imagine if you had a game and that game decided who was going to stay in the big conference, in the league. I mean, we see this in the Premier League where there's a whole lot attached to that, the amount of money that's attached to it. the entire community that's attached to that.
All of a sudden, you're way more interested in Rutgers' final game of the season than you were any other year. You know? All right, yeah, let's see if they're going to stay in the Big Ten or not, or whatever the conference would be called.
Yeah. I just think we're headed in that direction because it comes down to money. And, I mean, why do you have – it's nice when Ohio State will play Youngstown State. It's great for Youngstown State. And occasionally you'll get, you know, a surprise. But I think college football needs to be honest with college football and say, we just have a certain group of teams, schools, they're always there. And the other ones, hey, you might have a chance, but really you don't. But if you extend it to 16 teams for the playoffs and follow the format of the NFL, I'll ask Brady Quinn, former Notre Dame quarterback. He's going to join us a little bit later on. Yeah, Paulie.
I have the final power rankings of the Division I teams last year for college football. And let's say, like you said, it's 40 teams. You know, teams like last year, you know, Auburn is 38. They'd be on the cusp. But can you imagine a year where, you know, West Virginia was 45? That's a good football team. Ole Miss, Kentucky are in the 50s.
Yeah.
LSU had a down year for them. But imagine one of these schools that's a powerhouse drops. Penn State, what were they, 4-5 last year? Imagine a team like that being relegated and what that would mean to the next year at that stadium that holds up a zillion people. Or then, a team like Minnesota goes up. You know, and they get back in.
But how do you relegate, though? Because I have to have the final rank. Imagine if you have the final rankings party. I mean, this is all made for TV. Yeah. I mean, that's what you have to think about. When you go, well, there's tradition, and there's pomp and circumstance. Yeah, there's the bowl game. No, you got to think about this is money. And how do we maximize this and make more money? That's what the NFL does. They're like, we want another game. All right, there's another regular season game. We're going to put in another playoff team. They don't care. College football should, you know, let's just stop with this of what it used to be back in the 60s. Because it's not.
And then that second tier, the title game for the second tier, let's say it's Oregon State versus Arkansas. And the winner of that game doesn't just get a cute trophy.
Yeah.
They move up back up to D1. That'd be fun. We fixed this whole thing in one segment.
Yes, we did.
It would be the best thing to happen to college football since, like, I don't even know.
Herschel Walker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since Johnny Manziel.
Bear Bryant. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, yeah.
But you just have the old guard that's going to say, no, that's not the way we do it. You know, this is the way we do it. No, nobody cares. They didn't used to wear face masks. Are you opposed to face masks? That's the way we used to do it. We didn't wear a face mask.
We were disfigured and we were proud.
We only had 5 people die that season, but yeah. That was football.
The fact that you had players who died playing football back in the early 1900s.
18th Johnson at quarterback. 18th Johnson.
That, like, the president has to step in,
yes,
and be like, hey, we might want to chill out with
I
this.
Know, I
we
know.
Might want to figure out all the deaths in football.
It happened back in the 20s, I think.
It's real.
Was it Roosevelt who stepped in?
Yeah, and he wasn't soft either. You
no,
know that guy.
He was not.
Man's man.
He was tough. He was a man's man.
But if you go back to like the 06, 07, 08, he's like, we're going to take a year off college football and see how we can have less deaths.
Yes, Todd.
If they ever did anything like that, which would be obviously amazing, but how does that affect like the transfer portal? You're a student athlete and you agree to go to a school that is Division I 1 minute, and then the next minute they're not. Now everybody wants a mass exodus and get out of there because they don't want to be with a team that's no longer Division I. How do you figure all that out?
It happens in soccer. It happens in soccer. You're going to have transfer fees here. This it's going to be wild. It's already, I mean, who would have thought that Oklahoma and Texas would all of a sudden go, you guys, you know, don't wait for us. We're going to go outside for a moment here. And then they don't come back from the meeting. Hey, is it Texas, Oklahoma? Anybody see? And all of a sudden they get in the same car in the parking lot.
We're out of here.
Yeah.
Remember the other day when this first bubbled up, I took you aside. I'm like, I don't believe this story. I can't believe this is real.
Well, the fact, and you know, Paul Feinbaum said that they've been working on this a long time. And Kurt Bowles from the American Statesman echoed this. He said, they've been working on this for 6 months now. These are the same schools that, like, you couldn't make fun of down to Horns. Now, all of a sudden, they're in cahoots and they're going to the SEC. Wild. Money changes everything. We love Oklahoma. Jeremy in Alabama. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Back in my day, Dan, we didn't have regular jock straps. We wore wooden blocks. That's the way college football was. Ever since, like, this right here, I have always felt sorry for the teams, like Appalachian State, that just had a great year, had great seasons, was always dominant. Georgia State, you know, these teams like that, but they always, or Georgia Southern, that always had great years, and then they get moved up to the Sun Belt, and they're like, hey, for all that winning, you know, here's your prize, the Camilla Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, this next move, man, it could help them out, because then they could go back to where they were and back to that dominance. And Todd Fritz, have a great day, buddy. Thank you, Todd.
Well, how about that? Jeremy says, have a great day, Todd.
I appreciate that.
Did you come up with a poll question today, since you're doing those duties?
Paulie and I have a few different poll questions, which I would love to share.
Okay.
Paulie had, if you could win a gold in a niche sport, team handball, archery, badminton or mitten, it's spelled with an N though, fencing, judo, water polo, other. A lot of good stuff in there.
So it's a niche sport.
I just gave a handful of them, but if one of those non-prime sports of the Summer Olympics, I like team handball a lot. That's a fun sport. I played a little bit of it in college.
And it is badminton.
Yes.
Minton.
Minton, isn't it?
But we don't pronounce the N. It's badminton.
Badminton.
Yeah.
Water polo. Those guys are in good shape.
They are incredible.
That's a lot of work.
I went to a match at the Olympics. That is a contact sport.
The horses don't like it. Though,
no, they don't. They don't.
I stole that from school.
I know. You
from everybody.
Can I ask you a question about team handball, by the way?
You just did.
Didn't a country get in trouble because they had briefs on and they were supposed to wear shorts, or they had shorts on but they needed to wear briefs? It was very strange.
They needed to wear bikini bottoms.
Why?
I guess that's the uniform.
It's usually the other way, where they say, like, hey, it's too short. You got to wear something with more material.
I know. And, you know, like beach volleyball? Like, that's a sight. I mean, that's they want it to be a sight. When I was in London for the Olympics and watching that, I mean, first of all, the competition, the athletes are incredible, but they want it to be, you want to come out and watch that sport in person. Yes, Paul.
So there's like fencing, equestrian, diving. Those guys are in good shape. Judo. Rhythmic gymnastics.
Ooh.
It's fun. Freeing.
That's the one I want to win gold in.
Wear a nose plug. But they don't have men's rhythmic gymnastics.
Except for Will Ferrell in Old School.
That's the one I want to win.
Yeah.
you have a shot at being the world's greatest gymnast.
Would you be fine with that?
I would be great with that.
You would? What about synchronized swimming? Why aren't there men synchronized swimming?
I know you.
Here's a good one. Trampoline. That's a sport now in the past couple Olympics. That's fun. You could do it in people's backyards. Man, you show up to a cookout and someone's got a trampoline and you're the gold medalist.
No, I think badminton, because it seems like just a nice backyard sport, and then you get in there and you're like, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
These are all the worst backyard barbecue people. Like, oh, hey, 4th of July barbecue. Yeah, you didn't invite Ted, did you? Oh, great. He's going to get on the trampoline again. Oh, take down the trampoline.
You know what? Ping pong.
Yeah?
I would want to be a badass in ping pong. Yeah.
It's a table tennis
game. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Apology accepted on behalf of the world.
Play of the day's up next. Poll question.
We're gonna... a few other ones.
I know, but I got to take a break, right. Todd. Oh, don't go Friday Fritzy on me.
No, it's just like three other decent polls. But I know, I understand we have to break.
Before the show, you were Friday Fritzy. You had a comment on everything.
Was that a good thing or was that too much?
It was too much.
Too much.
It was too much. So much so that Seton got a little upset with you.
He did. There's a lot of talk about vanilla ice cream.
No, because you interrupted Seton.
No, it's not. It's been a week of just whenever you talk and then somebody else talks right over here. Sometimes they're telling you your story right back to you while you're talking.
I hate when people do that. It really bothers me.
It's really annoying.
Hold on a second. Just let me get the words out and then I'll finish the story.
Yeah, Todd.
That's all.
I need to work on being a better listener.
Let's take a break.
I get very hyper and I have something in my mind.
You get very hyper.
Let's take a break. Did you listen to me saying, let's take a break?
That would be my turn or our turn to not talk at that point.
Let's take a break. Play of the day is up next. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My God.
The play. The play is called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Swinging a line drive left center. That gets into the gap, base hit, and it should give the Rays the lead. Rosarena rounding third, and he will score, and Nettos has done it again. Yesterday won the game for the Rays. Today gives them the lead in the 10th. 5-4 Rays in Cleveland.
Courtesy of WDAE Rays Radio Network, Austin Meadows has delivered game-winning RBIs. Back-to-back games for the Rays as they beat the Cleveland Indians, who won't be called the Indians much longer. Have that story for you coming up in a moment. Play of the day brought to you by Simply Safe. They've been making people feel safe at home for 15 years now. Simply Safe. There's always someone there who has your back to keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. More phone calls on college football. And the report that it feels like within a week, Oklahoma and Texas are moving to the SEC. All right, Paulie, the Cleveland Indians are going to be the Cleveland Indians for the rest of this season, I believe, and then they change their name?
Yes, the Indians have announced a name change. Okay. They actually did a video with Tom Hanks as part of it.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to see if you guys can guess what name they went with. No one in this room knows besides myself. A month ago, they did a fan poll. 2 months ago, I should say. And here were the top five that were picked by the fans.
Okay.
They did go with one of these five.
Mm-hmm.
The Spiders, the Rockers, the Guardians, Cleveland Baseball Club, or the Municipals. Spiders, Rockers, Guardians, Cleveland Baseball Club, Municipals. Fritzy, what do you think they went with?
I think they went with Rockers.
I think the Rockers. You know, Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Seton O'Connor.
CBC.
The Cleveland Baseball Club.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Taking a page out of the Washington football team.
Yep.
I was thinking they'd pay tribute to the Cleveland Spiders. That was a team back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Now, they used to play at Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
Spiders, Rockers, Guardians, Cleveland Baseball Club, or Municipals?
Municipals is that's too big of a word. Man, I'm gonna go Rockers.
Please welcome your Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians. The Guardians.
Mm. No, it's on. No, it's on.
Guardians.
That's not good.
Can you hear me in the back?
The guards.
The explanation is, I don't know much about Cleveland. The connection to the famous Guardians of Traffic sculpture on the Hope Memorial Bridge was one of the reasons Guardians was very popular in the fan vote.
Yes, Todd.
You guard the galaxy. You don't guard Cleveland. That's so weak.
Yeah.
I think every one of those was better than that one. They picked like the worst one of the five.
I would have gone with Spiders too.
Spiders kind of fun.
Yeah. Rockers I always just think about merchandise. Like, what are you selling with the Guardians? Like, what's it look like? Spiders. And they could have great uniforms there. You could have a spider walking around.
Right.
Scaring kids.
Yeah.
It just drops out of the top floor.
Yeah.
Balcony.
You know, a certain section is going to be the web.
Yeah.
Like you get to sit in the web.
Nobody gets out of the web.
It'd be like the dog pound. Rockers. Come on.
You could have actual spider night. Everyone, first 10,000 fans get an actual spider to bring home. The Guardians.
Yeah. Jeff in Florida. Hey, Jeff, what do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey.
The idea of the 40 teams in the NCAA, that makes for maybe exciting football, but I think relegation just takes it up 10 more notches. Okay, here's a scenario. Here's a scenario. You got a group of alumni. They're able to put their money together. They essentially buy a great football team. And so now, you know, any Jimmy Lipper University can now possibly make it up into the 40.
Well, I guess everything's on the table here, Jeff. Thank you. It's like name, image, and likeness. If I'm a billionaire and I'm going to take care of my quarterback over the offensive line, there's no rules. All you got to do is report the money I give you. I'll make up a job for you. Imagine recruiting if you go, hey, if you go there and you start, you're the offensive lineman, you get $1 million. Like, what's that to a billionaire? What if Nike really gets involved with Oregon football? Like, really gets involved? You know, Phil Knight's like, what do I need to spend here? I'm going to guess you got to spend $25 million this year. All right, let's do it. Yeah, Paul.
Can you imagine some of the old boosters down south? They're like, so I don't have to give the kid a bag of money. I give him a check.
And wait, this is all above board?
There's a W-2 here?
Yeah, yes, Todd.
What if there was a scenario where relegation was on the line in the final seconds and you had to make that decision, the extra point to tie it and take your chance in overtime, or you do the win or lose 2-point conversion with relegation on the line?
All right, let's settle on a poll question here. Which one do you want to go with? You want to do the... Should the NFL, do we want to do that? I mean, it seems heavy with COVID protocols, and I don't know.
Whose career would you want, Tom Brady or Michael Phelps?
I threw that one out there.
Got the Buccaneers getting their rings, the Olympics timely.
You know, why did they make these Super Bowl rings ugly? Why do they look so gaudy? I mean, if you look back in the late 60s, early 70s, these rings now are at least 2.5 times the size of those. And you can't wear it. I've been to a Hall of Fame ceremony where the old guys wear their Hall of Fame ring and you don't realize they have their Hall of Fame ring on because it looks like it's a college or a high school ring. Now it's a damn doorknob and you can't wear it. This is what I'm thinking. I'll give you the big ring. You can put it in your safe deposit box or whatever you want to do. Put it under glass, lock and key. But I give you a smaller ring. It's almost like your wife's engagement ring. And then there's the wedding ring. You wear the wedding ring. You may not wear your engagement ring. How about a wearable Super Bowl ring? Understated, cool, but not gaudy. Yes, Seton?
There's a dude from my hometown named Allie Clark. And he's a baseball player.
Former
in the
Yankee?
40s, yeah. And he won two rings. He won one with the Yankees and one with the Indians. And he used to wear the one from the Yankees all the time. And it was completely worn down. It was small, but he wore it every single day. And all of the writing and stuff like that, completely worn away. It was awesome.
More on the COVID testing with the NFL and what the end result could be coming up top of the hour. What are the Lakers going to do in the offseason? Have that as well. Busy hour coming up. Dan Patrick Show. One more item in the first hour, rockauto.com. You got a part that you need for your car or truck. You can't find it. So what do? You start phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Don't do that anymore. Don't waste the time and money hunting for these parts. Go to rockauto.com. You're going to find the correct parts for both old and new cars. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like over the last 30 years. rockauto.com has specific oils, transmission fluid, antifreeze, and other chemicals your car must have. This is a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. Basically, take out the middleman, pass the savings on to you. They want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in those computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they want to make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. So don't waste time and money. Go to rockauto.com. Make sure you write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.